Well, I think we really do have to go beyond being mad at God. And I also think that sometimes we legitimize being mad at God. And I think we need to start by correcting that. Because I think there's a difference between being profoundly disappointed, discouraged, even depressed by a bad situation, and being mad at God about it. Because being mad is giving blame to God. It's blaming Him. It's saying it's your fault. So we need to ask ourselves, if the biblical worldview is true, if God is who Scripture says God is He actually to blame for all the bad things that happen in the world, all the bad things that happen in my life? And I think the answer to that clearly is no, He is not. But in terms of how we deal with it, I think one way we deal with the anger at God is by the frontal approach, the direct, is there really a biblical basis on which we are justified in being mad at God? Because if we're not justified at it, then maybe we need to say, I have strong emotions, and I'm not saying the emotions are bad. Those are understandable. However, I need to direct those emotions, including blame, toward the proper objects of blame, or even if there's not blame involved, the proper objects of my sadness, my disappointment, my discouragement. And I think there we need to see, okay, whose fault is sin? And this, because all suffering in the world is either directly or indirectly, and many times it's indirect, the result of sin. Now, see, when in John 9, when Jesus' disciples said, who sinned, Lord, this man or his father, that he should be born blind? And Jesus said, it's not because either of them sinned, it's that I might be glorified in their lives. Well, what he's saying is, it wasn't a specific sin that, somebody dies of cancer doesn't mean they did a specific sin and they're now being judged because God gave them cancer to punish them for their sin. Yet overall, the suffering of this world is a result of a punishment for sin. The wages of sin is death. And this is death, the fall, the curse. Suffering came into the world as a result of human sin. So I think then we need to look at ourselves and say, we are part of a sinful human race. And it's not just that Adam and Eve sinned, and it's not just that Adolf Hitler sinned, or Chairman Mao, or Pol Pot, or somebody. It's that regular, normal people like me are sinners. And I tell the story in my book, The Goodness of God, and the larger book, If God is Good, of G.K. Chesterton, who was asked to write an essay, as a number of prominent people were asked to write for, I think it was the London Times or Chronicle or something. And they were asked to respond in the essay to the question, what is wrong with the world? And so he responded with what is maybe the shortest essay in history. He writes back to them and says, dear sirs, I am. Sincerely yours, G.K. Chesterton. So it's a two-word answer. What's wrong with the world? I am. Now, that is a biblical truth. We're all part of the problem. So in terms of dealing with our attitude and dealing with our resentment and being mad at God and, all of those kinds of things, I think we need to get back to understanding that it is sin, sometimes not our sin, someone else's sin, that has resulted in this bad thing in my life. But I think for the Christian, the ultimate recourse is to affirm God's goodness and His sovereignty and His being all-powerful, and go to Romans 8:28 and say, this is either the inspired word of God or it is not. Romans 8:28 says, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. Now, if this verse is not true, then I have no basis to be a Christian in the first place, because if Romans 8:28 is not true, why would I believe John 3:16 is true, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son? Well, Romans 8:28 is true. I'm convinced it's true. But the comfort that it gives me is this. I can look at the worst thing that has ever happened to me, the thing that could make me angry at the world, angry at God, just angry in general. I can look at it, and I can say that if I'm a child of God, God is promising me that that very bad thing, potentially horrific thing, all things, what is included in all things? Everything is included in all things. That God is going to somehow use that for great good in my life. That is the ultimate perspective getter. Now, does it require faith? Absolutely. But it's true. You see it, by the way, in a number of cases in Scripture. You see it in Job's life. You see it in Joseph's life in a profound way. You look at Genesis 45, and he says, don't be mad at yourselves. And that relates to the question in an interesting way. He's telling his brothers, who were absolutely wrong, they had betrayed their brother. They did a truly horrible thing to him by selling him to slavery, you know, dumping him in that pit. You know, he was probably only 13 or 14 years old, something like that. I mean, you think of the scars that you would expect to be on Joseph's life. But once he confronts them with who he really is, and then he says to them that to don't be mad at themselves for what they did, because it was really God, the sovereign God, who sent him down to Egypt, and God had a purpose in him being there so that one day, being Pharaoh's right-hand man, that he could save countless lives, not only of Egyptians, but of his own people, of his own family, the race from which Messiah was going to come. And then later in Genesis 50, verse 20, he says once again, after his father has died, and they're thinking, well, he's going to kill us now. There's no way he's going to forgive us. And he says, no, I do forgive you. And his forgiveness is based upon him saying in Genesis 50, 20, you intended it for evil, but God intended it for good, to save many lives. And if God did that in the life of Joseph, surely he does that in our lives. And Jesus, obviously, the ultimate example, because we call it Good Friday. I mean, the worst thing that ever happened in human history happened on a day that we call Good Friday. Now, why don't we call it Bad Friday? Well, we call it Good Friday because we see that God brought the best good in the universe out of the worst thing that ever happened. If God could do that in Jesus' life, if God did that in Joseph's life, can he do that in my life? Romans 8:28 says, yes, he can. Am I going to believe it?